Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. Give the gift that everyone wants, Omaha Steaks. Right now, save 50% site-wide, plus get an extra $35 off with code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout. Save on USDA-certified tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, perfectly aged ribeyes, gourmet sides, and decadent desserts, delivered right to their door. Skip the stress. Order now at omahasteaks.com. That's omahasteaks.com, and use code HOLIDAYGIFT at checkout to get an extra $35 off. Hurry, these deals won't last. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
It's 6 a.m. Tuesday, March 18. I'm tired. Partly I just need to wake up. But, yeah, I'm also just tired in general. I'm working a lot. I pulled a long week a little while ago. And I was up late last night. And then I got up early today. There's like a brain exhaustion that I'm feeling. That's not helpful, is it? And I should probably slow down. Yeah, I definitely should do that.
If you've ever tried to run a business, there's this fascinating paradox. On one hand, you end up faced with so much that has to be done that you have to give all your time to make it happen. But your body has a certain threshold, and eventually you find yourself working harder and working longer, but you get less done. There's no clear solution to this because scaling back to a healthy boundary means that critical things just won't get done, and your livelihood is on the line. So what do you do? I didn't know what to do. And eventually, it got to me. The story you're about to hear has no ending. That is to say, whatever end will be has not happened yet. This is a story of one guy, myself, trying to fulfill his dream. But in a lot of ways, this is a story about thousands and thousands of people, entrepreneurs, inventors, and relentless creatives. It's about the people with an idea who had the audacity to walk to the edge of their comfort zone and jump into the unknown to pursue it. Or at least, this is a case study of my attempt to do just that. This story is being captured and crafted in real time, which means however the story ends, you and I will discover it together. I'm Jeremiah, and you're listening to Over the Edge. It all started with an idea, or really a rationalization. That's how most mistakes start, isn't it? Some deeply compelling rationalization. Here's how it went. It's the beginning of March, and there's a bunch of projects that need to be done. I've got Ryan working on some of them, but I'm also talking with Lucas about a staff role at Sleepy Dog.
Again, like last time caffeinated, I was like, sweet, I don't have to job hunt anymore.
Right.
I didn't think about like the risks of like a startup or like what it would entail, or like I did no research on like what even the offer you gave me, like how much money that would even be. I just was like, sweet, it's money and I live with my parents, who cares?
Right.
But now, obviously, like, things are different. I gotta be like, real careful. And so, like, it's because I'm being careful that, like, I don't want you to think I'm not excited. I'm excited at the opportunity.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that, like, the first, like, 4 to 6 months would be, like, so fun. I just want to make sure that the next 4 to 6 months after that would also still be fun, you know? Like, I want to make sure it's, like, a long-term good plan.
Yeah, and that is mature. Look at us. We're being mature dudes.
I feel just old and gross.
There's two mature dudes talking business.
If I'm going to be taking on an employee, and I don't want to repeat the mistakes of my last business, I need a bit of working capital. You know, some extra funds in the bank. If Lucas decides to take the job, he'll likely start in May. And so, even though it'll make for an incredibly challenging couple of months, I'll do more of the editing myself, and I'll keep from outsourcing as much as possible. That way, I'll build that financial buffer, and I'll be in good shape to take on an employee. Not a bad idea, per se. And so, I enacted my plan. Along the way, I found myself saying yes to all the projects I could, even the ones that didn't necessarily pay the best or make sense for my company. But again, I can live through a hellish month or two if it sets me up for success later. At least, that was my opinion. Around the same time, I sat down with Kahootly, in part to catch up, and in part to talk about Spotlight Coffee. As I mentioned earlier on this podcast, Kahootly is a killer graphic designer and motion graphics guy. He's also been getting more into video editing. He's got all these creative skills at his fingertips. I'd wanted to bring him in to help with some of my work for a while, but at the time, I didn't have enough work to bring him in, and he also never seemed to be available. In between caring for his relationship and building Spotlight, he also had to hold down another job so he could pay his bills. That day, we had this conversation. If I knew that you were available, I would call you more.
Oh, okay. Actually, I've really enjoyed what we've been able to kind of do lately of just kind of like, hey, even like me being able to be like, yeah, I have time tomorrow. And then it turns into like oh, cool. Can you actually come in tomorrow? And it's like, oh yeah, I have tomorrow off. Like,
yeah.
I guess what I can tell you is like my interest for being available for more freelance work is like here.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much a for sure yes. Like,
yeah,
I would love to make myself more available for that.
Yeah.
I guess like I just never knew that was an option.
Yeah. Well, and like I don't want to promise you something I don't have.
Right.
And I think that's one of the reasons that I'm talking about freelance is because like I'm not just saying, hey, come, like I can solve your problems.
Yeah.
I do know I'm going to need help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also I just like the idea of being able to advocate for you building the thing that you care about.
Right.
You know,
Let this recording hold me accountable, but I would love to make myself more available to freelance.
Yeah.
I think this is a good, not wake up call, but like a good call to action of like,
yeah,
hey dude, you can do this.
In the week that followed, I racked up a lot of hours. In 1 week, I had 4 video shoots, 2 new client meetings, and a mountain of editing to do. But remember, this was my plan. Hold it all internal, work like crazy, build working capital. I found myself working early mornings, long afternoons, and late evenings. In fact, I hit 40 hours by lunch on Thursday, and I still had too much I had to do. I don't know about you, but I have this tendency to put myself in stressful situations because I think deep down, if I make it through to the other side, I'll be super impressed with myself. And I really like that feeling. It makes me feel like I'm built different or something. I did this at my fast food job when I would sometimes prefer running the drive-thru in a lunch rush all by myself. Or I did it at my church video job when I created something completely by myself with no extra support. And here now, I'm doing it again. This is all well and good in moderation, but there comes a point where you find yourself digging your own grave in the name of pride. That's what I was doing. I had good reasons, and to be fair, they were legitimate, but I didn't realize the toll it was taking on my body and my mind. By the end of that week, Sunday night, I had clocked 87 hours of work, and Monday morning, I was right back at it. That's when John called.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday indeed. So tell me about your world.
Life's crazy. I worked a whopping 87 hours last week. which is definitely unsustainable, but I'm kind of just in this point where I'm trying to get a lot of stuff done by myself so that I can manage to build up some buffer in the business so I could justify or be able to swing hiring people. So working through that right now, pretty tired, feeling hopeful.
What you're doing right now, if you're linear, which means I'm going to do exactly this, what I'm doing now, the same way I'm doing it, we're just going to do it bigger, better, and faster. It doesn't work, it breaks, right? I encourage you to sit back and think about process, okay? You got to know your costs. I don't want you to be thinking about, you know, what's the lowest I can go on this, right? Because when you're as busy as you are, if you ask for your price and someone says no, it's not terrible.
Yeah, right. Well, and the position that I'm at also, and this is kind of, you know, my heart to do has been to want to do this anyway, is to be able to, like, to help someone out when I know that they would value from what I'm doing, as long as it still works for me.
I went on to explain to John about my plan to take on any bit of income that I could. I told him about two different videos I was working on for two different clients. These videos were basically the same. One was a well-priced project, but the other one was significantly lower, low enough that there was almost no real profit margin. John didn't like that.
Wait. How many hours did you work last week?
87, but it hasn't been, neither one has been on these videos.
No, but you get where I'm going here, right? For a guy that's doing 87 hours a week, and you say, I'm giving somebody a favorable price on this because I like them? No.
I hear you, but you also don't understand the other strategic position I'm in this month specifically. And that is build buffer. It's very temporary.
Okay, but it's
with a particular
tell you, right?
End in mind. You know what I mean?
As long as you understand what you are doing, okay?
Yeah.
As long as you're fully aware and that you may do things in the short term that you just shouldn't be doing. Don't do it, right?
Mm.
So you're doing things in the short term that you shouldn't be doing, but you're doing it just because you're doing it, right? So it's okay as long as you're aware.
Have you ever told your mentor, thanks, but I got this? It's a wild thing to do. By the end of the day, I'd hit 99 hours of work. Monday to Monday. I didn't love it, but I felt a little bit like a boss, like I was built different. But oh, how the mighty fall. That was Monday. This was Tuesday.
How do I feel right now? Tired. I feel really tired. It's like so many things are spinning in my head that I can't even like formulate the words to process it. I'm just out here stuck. My brain is just going in circles. Coming off of an 87-hour work week, which I think had more unintended consequences than I was anticipating. Like, I'm physically tired, but I just feel like my spirit is depleted. Like, I feel like I'm overwhelmed with stuff, and so I'm less, like, gung-ho about doing everything. That means every task feels harder to do at a time when I need to do more of it. And yeah, I'm pooped. It's hard because things are also good. Like, I don't know, I'm just trying to be grateful for the fact that this is the problem that I have, because it's not a problem I've had previously. The problem I'm used to is, you know, I'm staring at the project list and there's just not nearly enough money to survive. And I'm trying to figure out how to desperately drum up something, and that's not what's happening now. It's the complete opposite. So I'm just feeling it a little bit. But maybe I need to not do 87-hour work weeks again. What a thought. I don't like feeling this way about my business.
That was a rough time. But I worked through it because I knew there was a specific end in mind, and in a small matter of time, Lucas would be helping share the load. In fact, that same day, Lucas called me to update me on the job.
I'm just scared of a slow month when it comes to a startup. And so I don't think I could do a staff position right now, given where I'm at.
Honestly, I didn't see that one coming. We'll be right back.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
We interrupt this program to bring you a bulletin on Spotlight Coffee.
Welcome back to the part of the show where we check in on Kahootly and Mike, two young adults who decided to jump over the edge of their comfort zone and launch Spotlight Coffee. When we last checked in, they were reflecting on the unexpected challenges that came with running a coffee cart. Transportation, low profit margins, maintenance on the cart. Then they started experiencing a lower volume of sales at their events. And this is the same time that Kahootly was struggling to find a source of stable income. In fact, there was an event that he signed up to run both Spotlight Coffee and shoot a video.
That was probably the most stressful weekend of this year because I shot all night Friday, woke up early, tweaked some things within the coffee cart, went back to the main campus, shot some video, had to sprint all the way back to where we had our cart set up, do the cart. In between breaks of not many kids coming around to order coffee, I would run out, grab footage of activities, hop back on, help clean up, help like tuck things away, and then drive back over. You know, no one puts on themselves under that much stress unless they were worried. And I think a part of me was like so fearful of like, I need this to go well in order for me to get future work.
If the current challenges weren't already more than enough, Mike and Kahootly began to run into other issues with being a mobile-only business.
We had many people on our Instagram ask for our location. Like, yo, I would love to try your coffee. I would love to try this. Oh, let us know where it's at. And it's like, sorry, guys, we're mobile only. So maybe for your birthday party, like I've gotten so many left on reds by being like, oh, so sorry, we're mobile only. In that moment, it hit me of like, oh, we just can't create that same culture.
The cart has been good. It's been fun. I've always seen it as a stepping stone towards something bigger. I just didn't expect something bigger to come along so quickly.
A space in which people can become regulars and love your coffee and really like love your business.
We started to do all of these events at the church, and my mind and Kahootly's mind and the church's mind kind of were in the same place. And we're like, hey, we'd love to stay. Like, we'd love to be here on a regular basis.
And so they sat down with Kenny, the pastor.
Kenny had always visioned that place as like being turned into a coffee shop. Immediately, I was like, yo, Kenny, what if we tossed around the idea of us taking over? And he goes, I like that.
Shortly after this conversation, Spotlight ran an event at the church.
Lines of people were there. We were serving out drinks, and Kenny like just told us recently, like that night, I had one of the greatest iced coffees I think I've ever had. And I was like, dude, awesome. I think that's what kicked the gears into motion.
The space is completely ready for us to just move in to bring our equipment, so it really cuts our cost.
This opportunity rather rapidly changes the landscape of their company. And just like I had recently experienced, there's a whole new tier of questions and challenges that they had to confront.
I'm expecting this to come up more of the conversation of like, oh, you're a for-profit business in a church. So I've done my research and looked into that more of like, You know, there's the story of Jesus flipping tables in the church because of what was happening in that church. So I'm expecting that to come up more as we are a semi-permanent fixture in the church space. Otherwise, yeah, there's just a lot of like good questions coming from the church as to like things we maybe haven't thought about or things that we have thought about but not done yet.
Have you seen the Bohemian Rhapsody movie?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, there's like a point where like Queen as a band, we're just doing like college shows and just like pub shows. And there's a point in which Brian comes in and is like, yo, so I just got a phone call. This record deal wants to talk to us. And you see that switch of like, we were a local band that's trying to make it. And now we just got discovered. Now we're going big. And I feel like we were that small local band. Like we just got signed on to a record label. We're making it big.
At least for myself, success would look like establishing like a really core community that wants to drink our coffee and hang out, and just having that be a viable source of income for myself and for Kahootly and any of our future employees. Having it just a sustainable, financially, a sustainable business.
It's such a pivot from doing mobile. Like mobile, we can get up and leave at any moment. We can say this is not for us and we drop it. And so we both knew that doing this wasn't just like, oh, we can just get up and like leave at any point.
This is just where Kootly and I, where our hearts are at, is in cafe service. It's starting to feel real.
Unfortunately, as is often the case, things are never quite as simple as they seem. And Mike and Kahootly were about to walk through a different sort of challenge.
And now, back to the show.
The meaning of regret. I once asked a wise man about the meaning of regret. He said, "Live your life today like it's the only one you get. Regret is the illusion you can live your life twice, once to make mistakes with, and once to make them right. The truth of the matter is the past does not exist, yet in your mind you go there to find the wrong to fix." The wise man moved closer to emphasize his words. "The gift the past can offer you are lessons you can learn, but only if you listen with the wisdom to discern. The choices that you make today define the path you take. The wisdom of the path you choose is what defines your fate."
The wisdom of the path you choose is what defines your fate. I really thought I was on the right path, but I missed something. After clocking 99 hours over 8 straight days of work, I thought I would have peace of mind. Like, I'd be really tired, but it'd be the satisfied type of tired, like after you put in a good workout at the gym. But this was different. It was as if I taught my brain that frantic, anxious speed, without pause, was just the way we did things now. Suddenly, I was exhausted, but I couldn't sit still. I needed a night off, but I felt like I couldn't take one. And despite everything I got done, I still had so much work to do. The wisdom of the path you choose is what defines your fate. Maybe I was thinking about this all wrong.
What you're doing right now, if you're linear, which means I'm going to do exactly this, what I'm doing now, the same way I'm doing it, we're just going to do it bigger, better, and faster, doesn't work, it breaks. I encourage you to sit back and think about process.
One of the things I can say I did really well before I burnt out was I began to work on process. I created email templates with meeting agendas for first-time meetings. I created what I called a strategy document for every project that we did. I drafted it during our creative meeting and I used it for the shoot, and then I would pass it off to Ryan for editing. It did a beautiful job of keeping things organized and making sure I could maintain each client's creative vision without things falling through the cracks. But it also created extra work. Work that I began to dread.
It's like so many things are spinning in my head that I can't even formulate the words to process it. I've got to send lots of emails, and I've got to create agendas and outlines and keep projects moving forward. I mean, I've got irons in the fire.
Maybe what I needed right now wasn't another person to execute projects. Maybe I needed someone to help me keep them all in check. And so, I'd like to introduce you all to Sleepy Dog Creative's first official hire, Kristen Finney.
Knowing you for a while, I just know that if you're calling, it's like, all right, what like fun thing am I going to get to do? So I kind of assumed that it was for something, which it was. The conversation was very much like, what do you think about maybe doing some stuff for me? Like, that's kind of like how that conversation felt. And obviously at the time, since I was applying for jobs and had interviews and nothing was really like working out, I was like, I'm definitely open to that idea.
Kristen and I have been friends for a while. She and her husband, Sean, were both on the wedding party for Annie and I. In her previous job, she held a couple primary responsibilities: social media and admin. She had been looking for a job for a while, but hadn't landed anything yet. After that call, we met for coffee to talk about the job in more detail. I figured since she's coming in on the ground floor, she deserves to have a full look behind the scenes. Besides, she knew me back when I ran Caffeinated Records, so she's seen me run a business and close it. So I told her about the highs and lows of Sleepy Dog's 5-month life. I told her about the type of work we do. I told her about my uncertainty in who our target market was. I also told her about this 12-month contract and how just the possibility of all this work meant I was in over my head and I needed the help. Within a week of that conversation, Kristen accepted the job.
It was a lot of getting super specific on things, because I think you have, like, for the first time having to like actually brain dump all the things that have been inside your head. You were holding a lot of things at the same time. It was kind of perfect because it was like you needed to get it all out, but I also needed to learn how this needed to go. So it was like, I don't know how many times or how many hours we'd spent in Starbucks. At the beginning, that's pretty much what it was.
Kristen and I spent the first week just getting her up to speed on all the nuances of the company. The more I explained things to her, the more I realized just how much I was holding. Kristen took it in stride. We talked a lot about what processes I had started to build and how we could refine them and troubleshoot them and scale them. By day two, there were certain tasks she was able to take off my plate without my management.
I didn't know a lot about video production, like how much actually goes into making something like that. Somehow I'm like, I have to make sense of it and then also figure out how to make it more efficient. There was a challenge in that, but that was something that needed to happen, not just like for me to learn, but you like literally needed to get it out of your brain.
By the end of week one, there was a tremendous weight lifted off my shoulders. It's interesting because since Kristen was still so new to the job, she hadn't taken that much off my task list, but there's something about knowing you're not the only one responsible for everything, knowing that there's somebody who's sharing that weight. It's amazing how something so seemingly small can change everything. That same week, I got a text from Kahootly telling me he quit his job. He's all in. And suddenly, we had a team.
I feel like, I don't know, I just feel good. I feel like big business mogul right now. Like, it's just, things are just happening. And I don't even really, like, feel like I could take credit for it. I mean, I'm doing lots of stuff. Maybe I'm just feeling that November and December were so hard and felt so ineffective that, you know, maybe by contrast, it just feels easy. But that's what it feels like. It just feels like too easy.
Now, I want to pause here to make a point. That clip was taken 3 days after this clip.
There's like a brain exhaustion that I'm feeling. That's not helpful, is it? And I should probably slow down.
It's amazing how quickly things can start to change for the better once you start taking care of yourself and asking for help. Now, you could blame my upbeat mood on some good emails or something circumstantial, but at the end of the day, the thing that turned it all around was a good night's sleep and the help of some friends.
I hired Kristen on Monday. That's been like a game changer for building process and holding project load. And Kahootly just quit his job and is looking to step into a whole bunch of editing stuff. And so, like, I'm driving to a meeting right now and he's back at the house editing. That's wild. I'm at lunch yesterday and get an email locking in a huge contract, other emails about creatives in the area wanting to meet up, had a bunch of good conversations at a networking event yesterday. It just keeps happening. It's not stopping. And I'm grateful. I'm really grateful.
I've talked about it throughout this podcast, but a central part of my dream is being able to help my friends build the life that they want. It's how I know that I'm building something greater than myself. It's how I know that what I'm doing matters.
Being able to step into the freelance thing has just allowed me to actually feel the freedom of like, hey, I can provide for my future spouse / family and at the same time, like, grow up my dream.
You know, at that time I was in a pretty low point, so I felt like creatively I didn't have a ton of spark or excitement. I think the fact that in the midst of all of that, like, you knew all those things and then you were still like, I want you to join and do this thing with me, was like really impactful, because for a few months it felt like every day was like trying to get through the next moment, and it was hard to imagine anything beyond that, like, present moment. But still, you know, it was still like, I want you to do this thing with me. And so I think that felt really special and it made me really excited. I felt like I was finally able to, like, start dreaming and being excited about things again.
This is definitely not the end. We've still got a long road ahead. There's even something interesting about saying we. Like, up until this point, I said we to sound important or something. But now, when I say we, I really mean we. This isn't the end of our problems. It's the beginning of new ones. But there's something that feels exciting about the path ahead. We're stumbling forward, but we're finding our way. You know what they say?
The wisdom of the path you choose is what defines your fate.
What's the lesson here? Because it isn't necessarily, if you have problems, you should hire someone. I think it's important to recognize when you're pushing yourself to the edge of your capacity. It's not cool or impressive to work your life away. It's just unhealthy. And eventually, it all catches up to you. When you get caught in a place where you feel in over your head, get some sleep and ask someone for help. Also, if your mentor gives you advice, you should probably take it.
Ooh, what a journey this story is. So full of mysteries and plot twists. But I got a feeling it will turn out in the end. Cause some things you don't learn till you live a little bit. Who would have known the plot could get so high and low? One moment it's warm and in the next scene it's so cold. But now that I'm older I can stand on the shoulders of my victories and mistakes and see the lovely movie that they made.
Thursday, March 20th, in a Panda Express, Kristen and I debriefed her first week. We talked about how the job lined up with our expectations and how the next couple weeks were likely to play out. In the course of our conversation, I told her that at some point, we will likely end up in a position where we have to decide whether or not, as a company, we should take a certain job. And as we discuss process, we should figure out how we respond when we're in a situation that calls for it. But that probably won't happen for a while.
Who would have known the plot could get so high and low? One moment it's warm and in the next scene it's so cold. But now that I'm older I can stand on the shoulders of my victories and mistakes and see the lovely movie that they make. Oh, my victories and mistakes, what a lovely movie that they make.
Over the Edge is a production of Sleepy Dog Creative. It was written, hosted, and edited by Jeremiah Shoemaker. Our theme song is OK by Quinn from Space. This episode's featured song is Movie by John Michael Howell. Music composition by Jeremiah Shoemaker, Lucas Hibden, and Jesse Taylor. Graphic design by Cahootly Alvarado.
All music for Spotlight Coffee was provided by the Tune Raider. You can find links to his music in the show notes. Special thanks to Cahootly Alvarado, Mike Boyack, John Maxwell, Lucas Hibden, and Kristen Finney. If you enjoyed this show, send it to someone you know who needs to hear it. And if you want to reach out, you can email sleepydogcreative@gmail.com. And we'll see you next time for the next chapter of Over the Edge.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.